Now with pleasure I call upon Brother David to give us the very necessary words of exhortation. Brother David.
Good morning, brethren and sisters. It's lovely to be with you, especially on this very special occasion when we welcome our new sister meeting with us for the first time as a sister in Christ. I hope, Sister Sarah, that you'll find our exhortation helpful this morning, for it would be wrong of me to tell you that now that you've been baptized, that life will always be rosy and the path will be smooth and easy. For as flowers need rain as well as sunshine to grow into healthy plants, we each need times of hardship as well as happy times to help to develop characters that God wants each one of us to have to make us fit for his kingdom. As a piece of clay is to the potter, so are we, each one, in God's hands. God wants each of us in his kingdom, and that means that sometimes he has to chisel away all those rough edges of our characters to make us into a vessel that is going to be pleasing to him and of pleasure and fit for his use. But you can be sure, Sister Sarah, that just as the potter works carefully at the wheel as he makes this piece of clay into something lovely, God watches over each one of us at all times. At all times of testing, and he works with us in loving hands. And so this morning we're going to find our exhortation in the Epistle of James. And we're going to look at one or two verses there to encourage us to count it all joy. James chapter 1 and verse 12 tells us, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." And with these words, the Apostle James exhorts those who are called to be saints, as he called those in the first century, to be strong in the face of personal hardship. And with these words, we in turn are reminded of our own discipleship, which we can often find hard and difficult at times, and extremely trying. Times of trial are given to us by God as opportunities for us to show forth our faith. There is no doubt that as children of God, through baptism into his Son, we are often blessed above others in this present life. Many of us have peaceful homes and enjoy many good things that can be make life a little easier and less harsh and trying. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you," is a saying which has proved true in the experience of many a 21st century disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. But of course, God is more concerned about our eternal well-being than he is about our material comfort in this present life. It is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It isn't necessarily his pleasure to give us all that our hearts could want and desire. Indeed, God knows how dangerous this could be for each one of us. We must face this fact that hardship in some form or other will come our way sooner or later. And we must realize that though God loves us and cares for us in all our needs, He will at times subject us to difficulties and to trials and tribulations without which we cannot show forth an active and a positive faith which He requires in each and every one of us. We must not forget the exhortation of Solomon. Proverbs 3 verses 11 and 12 says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." And the writer to the Hebrews confirms this exhortation when he says, Hebrews 12 verses 7 and 8, "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he which the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof of all are partakers, then are you illegitimate, and you're not a son." We can go so far as to say that if we're not chastened, whatever form that chastening may take, we're not children of God and are not therefore heirs with Him. And we shall not inherit the kingdom with Him and share with Him the glory that is yet to be revealed. When things go wrong, brethren and sisters, and when we're called upon to suffer and to bear it, it's hard indeed to find the meaning to these words in Romans 8 verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And yet the words are there, and we need to let them help us when our faith is put to the test. But are we to reproach ourselves because we can't always say with faith, as the man Job, Job 2 verse 10 says, "Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" We know, each and every one of us, that we're weak and we're sadly imperfect. And God knows we are, for He knows our frame, and He remembers that we're just dust. We shouldn't imagine that God will cast us off if we fail to maintain continually the ideal state of mind achieved by the Lord Jesus Christ in His time of testing and trial and tribulation. And that which He expressed in His words in Gethsemane, "Thy will be done." There is no brother or sister who prefers trial and suffering to happiness and prosperity. We're not called upon to enjoy pain and sorrow. God doesn't want us to find pleasure in our own sufferings. But what He does require of us is a resignation and a meek and acceptable of the rod of affliction and the assurance that He knows what's best and a faithful outlook upon life. A life that is positive. And this is what God requires of each of us. Think of the example of the Lord Jesus Christ And we see these things showing forth in his life of trial, time and time again. But James is seen to be saying, going beyond this, and he says that believers who have to face trials of many kinds, you have to count it all joy. It seems as though no account is being taken of the weaknesses that we all share. Some may be discouraged when they read these words by what looks something that's totally impossible, a very, very high standard. Others have been spurred on by these same words and desired hardship, trial and tribulation, and even death. I think, brethren and sisters, this is to misunderstand James's exhortation. The apostle seems to be suggesting that there is some kind of happiness to be found in times of personal trial. It is true, of course, that in a sense, and in certain kinds of affliction, particularly when you're suffering for the sake of the truth, it is a source of real comfort to know that the suffering is worthwhile and that God will hold us dear if we continue to be faithful. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount show to us the aspect of the exhortation of James. Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And this, brethren and sisters, leaves us in no doubt that we ought to experience joy of some kind, whatever sort of tribulation comes our way in life. James chapter 1, verse 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And if we're found faithful under trial, our characters will improve by the development of patience. Trials, troubles, and tribulations can be a positive means of making us more acceptable to God. James chapter 1 and verse 4 says, but let patience have her perfect work. Let patience have her complete work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Will you please come with me to Romans chapter 5 and the first 5 verses. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. We see here the outworking of patience as a result of our tribulations. And so the Apostle Paul is bringing out this practical results of our trials, which implies some passage of time, however long or short it may be. Now, what of our personal application of this exhortation? I think it is to exhibit faith and develop faith in times of hardship, which will give our characters time to be moulded by God's hand. And then we will be able to find cause for rejoicing when we are tested and tried. We're exhorted in Hebrews 12, verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Will you come with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 1? And we're just going to look at four verses there. 1 Peter chapter 1 and at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And we go back to those words from Romans 8 and verse 28. All things do indeed work together for good to them that love God. Our times of trouble, whether they be hard and long, we can be confident that God's way is the best way. We shouldn't always expect to understand the purpose of it all when the hand of God lies upon us. For though it is James who by inspiration tells us to count it all joy when our faith is put to the test, it's the same apostle in the same chapter who says that the real occasion for joy is still in the future. James 1 verse 12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. I'm sure there are times when we have in spirit been in Jeremiah's dungeon or been in the pit with Joseph. But there are for us in the scriptures many, many words of encouragement in which we can take courage and draw strength. 2 Samuel 22 and verse 17 says, he sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. And verse 20 says, he brought me unto a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. And by these words, David was inspired to write when God had delivered him from all his enemies. Psalm 31, verse 24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen you. He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. But I have trusted in thy mercy, and my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. And it's Paul who encourages the Philippians when he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Although it is through much tribulation that the righteous shall enter into the kingdom of God, yet we can rest on the sure foundation of God's promise, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. For the road of life may take us where we do not want to go, up rocky paths, down darkened trails, over steps unsure and slow. But our dear Lord extends his hand to hold, to help, to guide us. We never have to feel alone, for he walks close beside us. I'd like to conclude by telling you of a personal experience. Last year, my father-in-law fell asleep, and we were with him just 2 hours before he passed away. He was a brother strong in faith, and despite many health problems, was very contented and cheerful. He was very frail, and this day had been taken to the A&E department of the local hospital after he had fallen, where he sustained very painful injury. The nurse had come to give him some pain relief, and soon afterwards, laid with his eyes closed, he repeated aloud this amusing but telling little poem. It's called Overheard in an Orchard. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly father such as cares for you and me. And some 2 hours later, he fell asleep. Brethren and sisters, if we can, in all our trials and troubles and tribulations, in our adversities, keep strong faith in God's loving providential care, then surely we will begin to experience that peace which is like no other, the peace which passeth all understanding. Let us therefore seek to acknowledge God's working in whatever circumstances of life we may find ourselves, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Let's strive in times of trouble to find strength to endure them. And if we cannot always rejoice at the time, let's at least be patient. Will you come with me now to the Epistle of James in chapter 5 and verse 8? Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. We know, too, that if we show forth the right attitude here and now, and see the hand of God, and know that it is for our good when we are chastened, we shall in due time be exalted to a divine nature, to suffer and to die no more, and to share with our risen Lord the eternal pleasures mentioned for us in Psalm 16 and verse 11. Thou shalt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures, but they're forevermore. Sorry.